Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafer, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
So today we are starting a new series on spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. So I call it spiritual warfare series. I wish I could have gotten like a camel or something. That's what I would have won here this morning. But I think it's against the law of Nigeria, actually, to put on, except you are a part of them or your father is. All right. So very briefly, let's look into God's word. I'm going to be very nice because this is my first time after a long time. So I'll just preach a short message. I will go home very early. Just to show you that I feel you, you know. I feel you. All the emails you have been sending, I've been getting them. Hey, Pastor. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12. Let's read very briefly. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10 to 12. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. God has an armor. This armor, the configuration of this armor was not to any man. If God were to go to war, this would be his armor. Come on, are you here now? I said if God were to go to war, this is how he would deck himself. This armor doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. It was named after the owner. And one of the benefits of redemption is that God took this armor and said, look, there are going to be a lot of battles. So you take this. Crafted after his own image. Put on the whole armor of God so that, you see, this is the reason, so that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles. Another word says, another translation says, the strategies. That means the armor of God is something built on a system. And the only way to tackle strategies is to also have something built on a system. Because strategies are not something, they are not things that just happen out of the blue. It's like going to war. And, you know, if you read the 48 laws of power. I was reading it while on the plane. So one of the laws of the 48 laws, and please, I'm not saying you should study the book, but if you are someone that likes to read wide, just read for your information, not to execute mostly, you know. It's a very crafty book. But one of the strategies in the 48 laws of power is that always give off a wrong scent, like your perfume scent. Always give the impression that you are on the way to Ojota while your actual destination is Lekki. Build, buy, do so many things. Make customized shirts on our way to Ojota. All the plans and strategies pointing to Ojota. When you call anybody in the house and say, where are we going tomorrow? They say it's Ojota. In fact, this morning, Pastor still said it's Ojota. And while they are discussing, they hear the pastor on the phone. Yeah, okay. And when you get to under Ojota bridge, they hear everybody's talking Ojota. Then we begin to march from Ilukweju all to Ojota, and we are dancing. You see, we are creating impressions. I'm talking about strategies here. We are creating impressions like this is our destination. But while we get to Maryland, the same person who brought the strategy, we get area boys to block the road. And then they will put tires everywhere, burning tires. I am the owner of the strategy. I was the one who sold the vision and said we are going to Ojota. I am also the one who, without your knowledge, because if I told you let's go to Lekki, you will revolt. Come on, are you with me now? So the only way to convince you is to build a system, a strategy that compels you. Because on a good day, you will resist. That is what Satan also does. So in spiritual warfare, you have to understand that it's not every battle that is your own. Come on now. I say it's not every battle that is your own. When David was on his way to fight Goliath, the first battle he encountered was from familiar spirits, was from his brothers. He had to be wise enough to know that this is not the real battle. The real battle is this Goliath. If you dissipate mental energy trying to face your brothers, you will not be ready. You would have burnt off a lot of steam. You would have dissipated a lot of strength. You would have lost a lot of energy. By the time you face Goliath, no strength. So when you are faced with a lot of pressure, spiritual pressure, seemingly difficult mental, emotional, spiritual warfare, always watch out. The one coming from those around you is to throw you off the scent. Is to use the aroma of what you are perceiving to deceive you, because there's a main battle coming. This one is just to weaken you so that you are not strong enough to fight the main battle. Come on, are you here now? So in spiritual warfare, you have to be smart. That pressure, putting on that tension, that's not the real battle. That one is to weaken you. Who told you we are here to... Who told you we are looking for people like you? They told you to bring some food. Drop the food and go back. There's no... Do you see your age mate here? Do you see anybody from your class here? We are talking about London School of Business. We are not talking about futile or some of these things you say. These schools. Nobody knows those schools anywhere. Say London School. They have used their words to weaken your resolve, because most of the battles you will face, even though they are spiritual, they will operate in the soulish realm. And the moment you don't feel confident enough, that's why people go for interview, they are sweating under the AC even before they ask them to come in, because the battle is mental, it's spiritual, but somewhere in your mind you are telling yourself because the guy sitting beside you, we went to Leicester. And you are still pronouncing it Leicester. Say Leicester. Say it doesn't matter. But this guy is a master's from Leicester. And you went to a state university. The warfare has started. It's a mental warfare. Something tells you that, look, people that are your age, your age mates, people with your, they are earning 70,000, 80,000. Why do you think on net anybody want to pay you 300,000? The battle has started inside of you. But you don't even understand that that is what we refer to as spiritual warfare. Most people think it's just something going on in their mind. No, the moment you begin to experience this thing, there's a battle going on. And you have to prep up. Please tell your neighbor, prep up. Give me that scripture. It says that you may be able to stand against the strategies. You see, this word wiles is plural. So, which means that every time Satan comes against you, do not assume he only has one trick up his sleeves. Just because Elijah has been able to call down fire does not mean that is the end. That's just the beginning. Because even though he could call down fire against 400 prophets, he was not able to call down fire for a woman. Come on, are you here now? Ah, you are not here. I said, hallelujah. Listen to, I said, there are, when it had to do with 400 prophets, this was a spiritual battle. Daring him face to face. He called down fire. Did he call fire twice? Just once. The fire did not even, it was operating on 4G or 5G. Came down immediately. Burnt the sacrifice. And the prophets were killed. He didn't, it's not like, oh, they say there's network failure in heaven. The software to download the fire is not compatible with your device. That any system that was manufactured 4 years below cannot be compatible with this fire. So you have to be patient. The download is a very heavy. What kind of hard drive do you use? Say, you need a bigger hard drive. Do you have cloud? Because we need to download it. Have you tried downloading anything? And they say download anyway. Because your say your Google Drive is not spacious enough. But it's a lie. They just want you to put it on your system. It's the same thing. Many of you do not realize you're under attack. You think it's about your boss. You are under attack. So Satan uses several wiles, several strategies. And I don't know how long this series will be. It could be just two or three. But whatever it is, I need you to pay attention. Because I realize that most times, spiritual warfare creeps in when we are relaxed. When things have been going on for a while and things seem to be very calm, you just relax. The moment you relax, you'll be jolted suddenly in the middle of the night. Let's read that scripture again. Against the wiles of the devil, next verse. Now, look at this. For we do not wrestle. The word wrestle there is significant. And please, I want you to pay attention. The word wrestle there is significant. Wrestle there signifies close combat. Come on, are you with me? Are you with me? This is close combat. So when Satan engages you at a close range, is touching you, you have to defend yourself. But what is it touching you with? It's touching you with carnality. It's touching you with sin. It's touching with your past failures. It's touching you with everything that you can actually identify with that is a problem. Satan never fights power with power. He fights power with deception and ignorance. So every time Satan comes against you, the battle is customized to you. Come on, are you here now? I said that battle is what? Customized to you. That is why it's a battle. So we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Which means that our battle is a spiritual one. Now, what makes spiritual warfare very difficult, especially when it involves other people, with people we know, is that in Genesis chapter 1, the Lord gave man authority over animals, other creation, the spirit realm, but God never gave man authority over his fellow man. So, to bend somebody's will to your own is called witchcraft. Come on. The ability to bend someone's will to your own is called what? And you don't need to fly to be a witch. It's a craft. Come on now. I say it's a craft. It's called witchcraft. That means you can develop it. You can develop it and become so good at it. You can play a mind game. So if Pastor David calls his wife, she will not pick his call. He calls again, she's not picking. Then somewhere in the middle of the day, she picks the call and says, Now, he was about to get angry with her that I've been trying to reach you for hours. The moment she says, he begins to hear. Now, he has to put his anger, you know, this is not the time. This is not the time. We'll fight another day. And it may not be anything, though. By the time she does that for like 10 minutes, and you can't hang up, you have to stay there. What is the problem? And I hope you know, guys, that most times when a lady tells you the problem, she's not expecting you to fix it. She just wants you to listen. So most of you get into trouble by trying to advise your wife or your fiancé. You are just wasting your time. Where the tears comes from is where the answer will come. You don't need to worry about telling her what to do or anything. Just be there. Sit down. And feel sorry. That's all. You don't just get yourself into trouble.
sit down there. Wow. Oh my God, this is so sad. Wow. That's all she needs from you. Concern. Okay. All right. Because some of you are fighting battles. You don't even know where the battle came from. I'm trying to help you right now. And really, you should ask some of the married folks. They will just say, most times, I just need you to listen. People come to my office and they take an hour to tell me their problem. But they are not asking for advice. They just want to talk. And when they find, I say, it is well. Then they send me a message. Pastor, thank you for that. I didn't do anything. You did all the talking. They just need somebody to just listen. That's all. Go and ask Elijah. The woman didn't even engage him. She just sent him a love letter. Jezebel, Elijah, what was that your name? I heard what you did. But I am more than one. Jezebel is more than 400 prophets. I swear to Almighty God, or whatever you believe in, if this time tomorrow you are alive. Now, that one is not let us reason together. Who can call fire? Who cannot call fire? I'm not here to argue with you. You are a dead man. Now, that's warfare on a strong, soulish level. And many of you have experienced it in your office and you didn't realize it was a declaration of war. Somebody threatened you and you didn't realize it was a declaration of war. There is no innocent threat. Look at it. The scripture says, for whatever it is worth, we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. So the moment you are finding yourself in a situation where you have two or three people, and it seems like there's a conflict here, Paul has already told you, it's not about that person. Anything you see on the natural realm has already started in the spiritual. So it's not about, the devil could have used another person. The devil didn't say, oh, it had to be Judas. The devil went for Peter first. It was not cast on stone. It could have been John. With all his emotionalism. My Jesus. Hey. Sit down where? You all be singing. All these emotional songs. I don't even sure if they are Christian songs or love songs. Or whatever. Look. Oga. We want to die tomorrow. Sit down where? Today is not a day for hugging and all those things. Somebody told you he's going to die. You are still hugging him. Who will betray you? Hey. If they tell you are going to die tomorrow, do you think hugging is the last thing on your mind? Forget about the American films. Who are about to die and they are still doing some things. It doesn't make any sense to me. Somebody is about to jump from a cliff and you still have the mind to do some things. And it doesn't, I don't know. Well, go and watch their films. I don't have to be so to be so direct. So forget about the American film. So if somebody tells you tomorrow they are going to die by an electric chair, even if your wife is here, you can't, you are just, even if they put your best food, pounded jam with a goosey, with a goat head and cow leg, and the thing is looking so sumptuous, and they are saying, okay, just eat it, so that whatever, when you get there, whatever they are eating there, you will also be eating with them. But eat this one. Where is the appetite? Some of you are very wicked. You will still eat that one there, but me, I really don't know where the appetite will come from. That woman didn't just say, she threatened him. Elijah did not even realize he had walked into the forest, into the desert. He was just walking. A woman sent him a letter, and he didn't realize he had started walking into the wilderness. There are warfares that are very strong in the spirit realm, but very deadly on the soulish realm. They will decapitate you. Every creativity in you will begin to struggle. You get into a business meeting, you do not even realize that Satan is, his headquarters is in the marketplace. That for whatever is worth, somebody does not even believe in his heart that you are supposed to be making that presentation. Something as simple as a presentation in the office on Monday morning, somebody somewhere believes you are being favored. Do you know what it means to practice witchcraft? Let me show you. We are in a meeting right now because I'm going to talk about witchcraft during this season. Because a lot of you, you are not aware there's witchcraft. all the issues going on with homosexuality, LGBTQ, ABCD, FGAI, JKLM, OPQRSD, all those people do not, most Americans and Christians in the US do not even realize it is warfare. So they spend their time giving speeches online, saying, you know, I just believe there are two genders. Oh, so why can't I call myself a cow? You know, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, I feel like a cow. I feel, no, you should feel like a peacock and jump. Jump from the top of a mountain and let's see. People just say what is coming. I've not seen any homosexual, any transgender going to Ukraine to fight. All those women that feel like they are men, I've not seen one of them. They're all in the US. I've not seen one of them in Ukraine saying, give me a gun. But they are going to do transgender sport, where they are trying to participate in sports meant for women, and then they are getting all the gold. Because even though the body inside is a man. Forget about that rubbish. When you can claim to be anything, when you die and they put your body in the ground and you are all bones, when scientists come into the ground to check the bones, they can tell that this is a man. They can tell this is a woman. So keep lying to yourself. But the amazing thing is how people suddenly are becoming compatible with that program. That's warfare. Something that could not be said publicly 15 years ago. All of a sudden now, in what country is that? Is it Canada or UK? You are not... I think they say they are taking away gender from the birth certificate. They let your child decide. Some bunch of idiots just wake up and decide. Something that is... You are looking at the baby in front of you. And you are telling yourself, the baby should be allowed to choose. If the baby is indeed that thing, why are you putting hormone blockers? There's this lady, you know, one of my girlfriends, Black China. Some of you though, you are very spiritual, you don't know Black China, but you know, if you don't know, it's okay, but it's not an issue. She gave her life to Christ. And I was watching it online, she said some of the tattoos drawn on her body were images of demon spirits. Alright? So now she's regretting, she's asking that they should scrape off some of those things. Because listen to me, you have a demon imprinted on your body. Satan will tell you, that's my signature. Forget about the fact that it was just one guy with a cigar that was scraping your skin. Anything that has the logo of Satan, Satan will demand for it. Just the same way, anything that has the logo of heaven, of God, God will demand for it. Because Jesus said, that which is God must be God's. And what is that thing on earth that carries the image of God? Mankind. That money, give it to Caesar. But you are in the image of God. So you must come back to God. That's why when a man dies, his body goes into the ground, but the spirit returns to the maker, the one who made it. Spiritual warfare is real. He said, give me that scripture if you can. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against... Now, there are people who believe that the church should not engage in spiritual warfare. But look at what the scripture says. The scripture was very clear about what we are dealing with. Against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. This darkness of this age, they are the ones spreading the homosexual agenda. The word darkness means the absence of knowledge, of light. Are you with me now? Now, the absence of light, when the light of God, the knowledge that is acceptable to God has been hidden and taken away from many people, then you have darkness. So there are master ruling spirits saddled with this function. Everything we are seeing now still is operating from the rulers of darkness. By the time they conclude their job, you will see wickedness. Come on, are you here now? You will see what? Wickedness. So you have to train yourself in spiritual warfare. You cannot say, oh, that's not my line. Except you will either have to conquer or be conquered. The reality of the spirit realm means that there are two opposing forces, which also means there will always be conflict. Listen, you must make up your mind that the reason you will lose any territory is not because of your ignorance. Listen to me, everyone that is listening to me now, whether you are online or you are here, the Church of Jesus Christ is God's ground troop on earth. There are certain things God will not leave to angels. And let me tell you, every time it seems the world is about to, you know, move into a deep hole, then God will cause another apostle to rise again. It will cause another generation of apostles crafted for that season. They will begin to rise. That's what happened when the house arose. By the time Ayo Babalola was recruited by heaven, he wasn't praying for a calling. He was a tractor driver. If anybody had told him that, oh, fast and pray for 7 days to get a calling, he would not have taken them serious. For him, he just wanted to make a living. He was doing his own thing. God came to recruit him. Go and check everybody that God recruited among the 12 disciples. He picked them at their offices. He picked them. Because even God doesn't like lazy people. He said, there's no job. Create one. Create one. God recruited them. And did you also observe that God picked those who are very smart at what they do? Even the one that was a tax collector, he was very good at it. Forget about the fact that he was pocketing part of the money, but he was very good at it. So if you are very, you will be useful. Even when God needed somebody to go out of the box, to break the box, he went for a Paul. Because every time God talks to Peter, they're always arguing. I beg, go and sit down. I need somebody that if I say one thing, he will say, Lord. Who art thou, Lord? He has not even given his life to Christ. But he knew that whoever could shine this light and put him on the ground must be Lord. Paul never looked back from that day. Never. Never one day that he had an issue and was arguing with the Lord. He said, I had this infirmity in my flesh. And I prayed 3 times that the Lord would take it away. And 3 times the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It was not an issue. And church historians suggest that he probably had eye problems. Because the next verse he quoted was that if it were possible, you would have given me your own eyes. And he spoke to that church that they, knowing his infirmity, did not take it against him. That how can you be a miracle worker and you are healing the sick and raising the dead, yet you cannot see? If you go to a meeting organized by Prophet Obadale, you will be confused. You'll be confused because you'll be watching him, and things are happening all around you. You have to be spiritually alert because there are battles going on around you every second. And the two powerful keys that Satan uses to lock us out of that transaction is ignorance and deception. Ignorance and what? Deception. Why do you think that certain things happen in your house only at night? A child that was having a great time, all of a sudden, 12 a.m., spikes, temperature spikes. Or have you not seen your spouse or somebody at home, your younger sister or your brother, everything was fine. Sometime around 11 p.m., it starts throwing up. Warfare. Now, what the devil tries to do is to convince you that there's nothing happening. The moment he gets you there, when things begin to happen, that rational mind will fight revelation. You will be defeated on the spot. Because for David, bringing Goliath down was a spiritual matter. It was not even about the kingdom. How can somebody stand and be saying, you and your God, come and kneel down? Yeah. No. He didn't have any weapon with him. In fact, he was clothed with the garment and the armory of Saul. But he put it aside because he said, I have not tested it. In spiritual warfare, you can only use what you have tested. If you go and listen to a man of God and he says, oh, I fast 21 days every month and you have not proved it and you went to preach it. So the enemy doesn't know anything except what you give to him. Huh? The enemy only knows what you give to him. If you are found somewhere with somebody wore a camera and they were videoing you collecting money, saying you are moving money, $5 million from one country to Africa, to one African country, and you are doing all those things, it was what you gave them they analyzed. You can't come back and say it wasn't you. Everything the devil is doing about you was the information you gave him. When you sat on your seat or you laid on your bed and you said, can I still make it? It was the information you gave to him. The moment you speak the word, it has become a legal tender. You must think very deeply because what you say is legal. Just like in the court of law, they present documents. In the spiritual realm, they present words. Oh, I don't even know. There are no good men again. Eh? Take out to court. Those are the evidence. By the time you are now praying. You spend 1 minute praying. You can't pray for 10 minutes about what you are trusting God for. But you can sit down with your friend for 2 hours talking about why those things are not working. So if they put the two documents together, this one has 10 pages. This one has, this one is more powerful. Do you know in the bank, when somebody writes a check, we are taught in the bank that the amount in words is stronger than the amount in figures. So if somebody writes 10,000 naira figure on his check, what he wrote 100,000 naira, it will be taken that what he meant to write or withdraw was 100K. If you pay 10K, the person can still sue you. Because what they are saying is that it takes a lot of time to write 100,000. Even if you are making a mistake, but before you get, I should have finished writing this thing. You stop, cross, sign off, write again. The words you speak are very potent. And what the devil will try to do is to convince you are just being honest. I'm just saying my mind. I don't know how to hide my feelings. You are hiding your feelings. They are packaging the case against you. There was a president elect somewhere in this world, in Africa, in 1998, said he was 52 years. Now, they added the thing. He's showing, he said he's 71. The thing is showing, but when we added, he's showing 81. It's what, please don't forget what I'm telling you. It is the information you give Satan he will use. That is why spiritual warfare is very intense. Because when Satan goes against you, it will look as though that prayer is not enough. Because you've given him information. Come on, say God forbid. Come on, declare, plead the blood of Jesus. You need to invoke the blood of Jesus to wipe off every word that have been spoken in anger, spoken in frustration, and you must make a decision that when you are upset, you keep quiet. Look at that scripture again in Ephesians 6 chapter 10. Let me see if I can bring this down. We'll continue in the second service. Are you blessed this morning? Some people don't want you to know this so that you can always be coming to them and they'll be collecting your money. So hear it. I want you to imagine I am alone with you in this hall now. And that the message I'm preaching now is not for the next person, it's for you. Look at what Paul said. He said, finally, my brethren. The word finally there is very significant. Because Paul is saying, what follows this word finally is what even determines if verse 1 to 10 will be useful. Verse 1 to 9. Come on, are you with me? Do you understand what the word finally means? It means, in respect to verse 1 to 9, finally, this one is very important. That means you are not permitted to operate verse 1 to 9 if you are not strong. So all your moments of praying, fasting, everything is building towards verse 10. Come on, are you with me now? I say everything from verse 1 to 9 is building up towards this point where Paul says, finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your certificate. Don't be strong in the promise that sister made, that brother made to you. Be strong in the Lord. Listen, this issue of strength is the reason why. It's not that many of us don't know the scriptures. It's not that many of us have not memorized the Bible. But the level of power required to generate the life in certain scriptures, we don't have it.
You know, when I was in Kenya, I was preaching a message, but I did not even... I just laid the foundation and I didn't go there. But my message was supposed to be on... whether I liked or not, I'm an international minister now. So I didn't ask for that invitation. They brought it. So it's not like, oh, I'm here. Like, no. It's not... Look at that scripture in 1 John. It says you have passed from death to life because. The word because is significant. The reason why we have passed from death to life. This word life here speaks about Zoe. But it is not the same degree of life as when you come to Christ as a new Christian. It's talking about a level where you begin to live the immortal life. Because, please give me that scripture. I think it should be 1 John 5 or so. We have passed from death to life. Is it 1 John 5? Hold on. Because you love the brethren. So there are... First John 3:14. Give me First John 3:14 very quickly. He said, for we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We love one another. Do you have it? He said, we know. You see that word know? That word is called knowledge. And I don't have time to go there, but we'll come there. We'll probably come back to this. We have passed. That means we have moved from the terrain of death into the Zoe dimension, into the Zoe life, because we love the brethren. So how does John teach us to understand a believer who is making progression in the Zoe life of God? He says, we look at the love life. When you, the more anointed you are, the more inclined you will be towards fellowship, brotherliness, not showing of power. Did you get that? Because you see, power, when the power of God comes upon you, you know, when I was in Kenya, I was prophesying to a brother about an international ministry. It was after the prayer that the pastor told me the brother is from Rwanda. I didn't know. It's not a national of that country. I came from Nigeria because of him. Prayed for him. He's taking the anointing and I learned he's actually an evangelist. You understand? So we have taken the gospel to Rwanda through a brother. Do you understand? So, but I remember when I was praying for him, he knelt there. The moment I touched his hand, he was electrocuted on the spot and started vibrating on the floor. But that level of power can be corrupted, diverted, misappropriated. The balance for power is the love of God. So when a man becomes more anointed, the pressure is now and the demand is now on him to live in a community where we can all be brothers. Have you watched, for those of you who like Chinese films, you see some of these very powerful masters, but they don't always show how powerful they are until the end of the film. Come on now. Some of you, you watch all this, you are behaving as if you don't like Kung Fu films. I came back, I started watching them again. I guess Rema when I watch those guys. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see some of these very bad guys in these movies. They terrorize everybody from the beginning of the film till episode 60. But you find this good guy, the master, everybody respects him, but he's always calm. He's always giving people counsel. Like, Baba, let us fight. You have this anointing. Let us kill this man.
The man is like, no, according to the laws of Buddha, we don't fight, we must not be angry. Ooh. All this anointing for nothing. Because the love of God is this, provides the stability for the power of God. The power of God is embedded in the life of God. That means the capacity that you receive to operate certain dimension is coded into the type of life that you have received. But if the love of God is not there, what you will just find is that what? You become very brutal in the use of power. So amongst us, thank God for the anointing. But the yardstick for us will be how much we love each other. Not who is more powerful. Thank God for the anointing and thank God for the power. But our greatest asset amongst us will be that what? We love each other. Not that we measure stature by who is more anointed. No, we measure stature by who loves more. Hallelujah. And I tell you something, if you walk in the love of God, live under the governance of the love of God, listen to me. The Bible said love never fails. You will not lose a spiritual battle. Are you here now? Are you here now? So I was in Kenya. Somebody asked me about Apostle Arume. He said, why is he always fighting everybody? Do I know him? I said, yes. He said, why is he that even some Nigerian pastors don't like? I said, you better leave that man alone. I said, that's the only advice I give you. I said, leave him alone. I said, people are product of where they were born from. People, someone has been forged in fire. He speaks warfare as a language. What do you mean? You went to San Francisco and Budapest, and you've been living your life, enjoying your life, listening to God's word is good. You are blessed. Lift up your Bible and say, this is my Bible. Yeah, you have not faced anything. You have not faced anything. When you are faced with necromancy, do you know what necromancy is? Eh? When they raise the spirit of the dead to come against you, say, this is my Bible. You know, yeah, you begin to pray. Who has time for? We don't need your manners. Or when you have a dream and Satan is telling you that you will not have a child, you come out of that dream firing in tongues, machine gun tongues. Not all this shut up. I told the pastor, I said, just, you see that man? Leave him. The authority on his tongue, just leave him. If you don't understand him, just leave him, ignore him. Because where that man is coming from, he has been fighting all his life. All his life. So just leave him. If you don't want to have problem, because if that guy is a trained warrior. But you see, when Apostle Arime came for Pastor Ayo's program, so after the meeting, he told Pastor Ayo, he made a statement. He said, this is the first meeting I'm going in a long time where there are a lot of anointed people and I don't feel under pressure. I am feeling more like, oh, how are you? What's your name? That is, it feels more like meeting people instead of feeling like an apostle. Because the moment he came, he saw everybody. Benga, you are still here. Saw everybody. Pastor Ayo, these are the people that submit to you. So he just said, there's no pressure to perform. He's not in his own meeting where he feels obligated to teach. He just relaxed and was able to meet with people. And that's why we came here on Sunday. I didn't invite him. The love of God provides the balance for the power. Because without the love of God, power can be corrupted. And you can even execute the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fight a battle that God is not interested in. We'll continue. Let me just wrap up in 3 minutes. You know, I told you, I'm a changed man. So, all those people where you see their churches, 25,000, 30,000, they don't preach long message now. Me, I finish the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, every Sunday. So I need to calm down. Say, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? It means to become proficient, strong, able in your communion life with the Holy Spirit. To be strong in the Lord means to become very disciplined, developing a communion life with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? It means to learn how to practice the presence of God. Please, this particular point, I heard it from Kenneth Hagin many years ago. Say, learn how to practice the presence of God. And it was asked, what does it mean to practice the presence of God? It means when you go into your prayer room, the moment you begin to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you are here, you must begin to carry the notion that the moment you said that, he came. That the moment you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, is like a password. God is no more far. The moment you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are brought into his presence and he is there with you. So everything you begin to do, you are doing it with a consciousness that he is with you. And the manifest presence and the glory of God is there. It's not very far. It's here. He said the moment you begin to do that, you will notice that you are able to pray without struggling. Come on, are you here now? Most of the time, we are trying to pray to prove to ourselves that we are serious Christians. No. Kenneth Hagin says when you come, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your presence here. The moment you say that, your mind must agree with you that God is here. You must learn how to pray the presence of God. Number three. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? It means to build your faith life through the word of God, through prayers, and through fastings. Never has the church been so attacked when it comes to the doctrine of fastings like now. Simply because somebody has a few dollars in his pocket, he just tries to create the impression that, oh, it's not about fasting, it's not about this. Listen to me. When the trouble that came upon the earth in the days of Joseph came, where were all the economists? Where were the accountants? Where were the people with the government policies and who knew the demand and supply curve? And who knew the point of equilibrium? Where were they? It was a servant of the Lord in the prison that was given the wisdom for that season. There is a point in your spiritual work where the anointing can dovetail into what you do. Come on, are you with me now? I said there is a point. It is an advantage. It gives you an element. It raises you above what others are doing. Others read books. You know spirit. So you must add spirit to what you do and what you know. Even when you're in the exam, Holy Spirit, what? I can't remember. I studied this thing. Rashikaba. You begin to. Then he said he will remind you of all things, especially what he has taught you. So if the Lord is not reminding you of anything, that means he has not been teaching you. You have been listening to so many people, but you have not been listening to him. You cannot listen to a 1-minute podcast. The purpose of a 1-minute podcast or a reel or a 1-minute video on YouTube is to take you back to the main message. Not for you to develop a doctrine on 1 minute or 40 seconds. You cannot grow like that. You have to learn to practice the presence of God. Sit down, sit down. Don't goose people. Open your Bible and read. The discipline of staying there while your iPad is flashing. New release of, what's that latest season now on your Netflix? There's something, the thing will just be, you know, and the devil is so wicked. That time you decide, the thing will just be popping, the emails will be popping. Oh, a new season is out for Outlander. You'll be seeing all kinds of things. And depending on what they have narrowed down to your taste, they'll be flashing you. Flashing you is as if the devil has woken up. They'll be flashing you. Go and watch it. Go and watch it. Just one episode. After an episode, I'll pray. After an episode, I'll pray. After an episode, I'll pray. After an episode, one more 50 episodes. Hey! I can't stop here. So what happened in the next episode? This is Lagos and everybody complains there's no time. But we still watch movies. Learn the discipline. To be strong in the Lord means you have built your muscles. Oh my God. You have built your muscles to be able to stand through certain things. The ability to wait on God and you are praying, not necessarily with music. I know we have iPad and everything now. Learn how to pray without external aid. Learn, it's good to use those things and listen to worship and all of that. Those things are good. But you also have to learn how to pray without those things. Because when you're under pressure, you may not find your ear headset and your Bluetooth or whatever. You need to be able to pray and tell yourself, 3 hours we are here, we must settle this issue. So to be strong in the Lord, there's one key word here, discipline. Come on, are you here now? What's that word? You have to sit through and build your muscles. Because what is going to come upon you, if your muscles are not strong, you can't carry it. Look at that scripture. The moment he said, be strong in the Lord, what was the next thing he said? And in the power. So once you become strong, it is God that releases the power. Most people want the power, but they don't want to be strong. Then they crash. There are people that try to cast out devils from families, and they got home and they started having issues with their spouse, and they got divorced. Because they engaged spirits who were operating at a higher level of concentration than them. Are you with me? I'm talking about sincere people, pastors. They went to sort out the quarrel between two couples. The spirit went to their homes and attacked them. But the pastor did not know. He started having issues with his wife. The wife started saying she doesn't love him anymore. This one, that one, this one, that one. Like play. 2 years they were divorced. You touch my meat. The person we have kept as meat. You want to deliver them. Okay, let's visit your home. You should be a prayer warrior. Let's see how strong you are. You pray so hard, you don't talk to your wife. You don't have to. Okay, let's test. You are a pastor at home, a pastor in church. No, you should be husband at home, pastor in church. Because the husband is a ministry crafted for the home. The pastor is divorced. But people don't understand spiritual warfare. I bind every territorial power. You better get approval before you start touching things that have higher levels of concentration. These rulers of darkness, they don't go to where the light is. That is their weakness. They don't go to where illumination is. They don't go to places where the word of God is. Anywhere where they are teaching light and illumination, the word of God, they will only try to confuse the person, but they cannot stay there. So every time the devil substitutes your concentration for movies, and for reading Adley Chase and all those novels, just know, darkness is trying to gain a foothold in your life. And the Bible says, do not give the devil a foothold. Let me stop here. We'll continue second service. Are you blessed this morning? I want you to pray in the spirit for 1 minute and thank the Lord for the first part of this spiritual warfare series. And I want you to ask that the Lord will minister that which is deficient in this message to you by revelation, bringing accurate understanding in the name of Jesus Christ.